Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie. Find us on Facebook.
Cubberty 2FM.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Entourage movie, because it had its Irish premiere last night. The TV show, of course, followed the fortunes of up-and-coming Hollywood star Vince and his group of childhood friends, who Vince allowed to share in the ups and downs of hedonistic Hollywood. And the real star of the show was, of course, Ari Gold, the unhinged and volatile agent. Here's the least sweary clip of Ari we could find.
This is now the biggest agency in the world, and I'm the head of it, which makes me the biggest agent in the world. Now, can anyone tell me why I chose to be the biggest agent in the world? It's so I can stop being an agent. So don't tell me to show the love. That's what I pay you people for. All right? So somebody, give me something big. Anybody, please. Jesus Christ, you all suck. If I didn't have a 5-year lease on this place, I'd shut it down and work out of a cardboard box by myself.
All right, Paul Gleason, otherwise known as, also known as even Ruin the Magician, is a big fan of the show. He was at the premiere last night. Good morning.
How are you, Ryan? Well,
good, thank you. Can you give us a kind of the potted history of Entourage, the TV show, first?
I sure can. So it spanned 8 seasons, so I'll try and do this quickly and briefly for you. But as you said, it follows the ups and downs of an overnight, hugely overnight successful movie star called Vincent Chafe. And he flies out his best friends to live with him and work for him out of New York. And it's basically the trials and tribulations of them living together as a kind of a foursome and navigating the different world, the kind of vacuous world that is Hollywood, from making huge multi-million deals to being in completely flop films. It kind of traces the standard life of a movie star in Hollywood.
It was, 8 seasons?
8 seasons on HBO, yeah, almost 100 episodes.
Wow, so that's 2004 and on to 2011. Why did it have such a fan base that grew and grew?
It was hugely successful. I think there's 2 different reasons. I think, first of all, we all might have kind of a guilty obsession with the lives of these multi-millionaire movie stars. Like, look at the likes of Leonardo DiCaprio, who recently just bought a $15 million yacht to go out with some girls on it, you know, to have a few drinks. Mm. It's this weird world that we never really get a look into. Sociologists, they call it the parasocial relationships that we have with these people, because we read about them so often and magazines call them by their first names, like Brad and Angelina. But we don't know Brad and Angelina, but because they use their first name so often, we kind of feel like we might have a relationship with them. So I think it explored that kind of world. It also showed us how the movie business kind of works in a hyper-glamorized way. But a lot of the narratives and a lot of the storylines are actually based on real-life stories that happened in Hollywood. Like, it's all loosely based on Mark Wahlberg's career. So as well as that, we got wish fulfillment and the lifestyle that they live. Maybe we could look at that and go, geez, I wouldn't mind having $15 million to star in a movie myself. So I think that's why it was really successful.
Now, you did a thesis in college that would have had lent itself, would have borrowed from some of the themes in Entourage. Is that right?
Yes, I did my master's thesis on the representation of homosocial bonding in film and television, and I wrote the first academic thesis on the notion of bromance.
Wow. You were ahead of the curve there.
I think I was just closely behind, but I tried my best anyway. So basically, I'm really interested in this, in the way kind of men bond together, and if anyone who doesn't know what a bromance is, it takes the two words, brotherly and romance, and puts them together. And it's essentially a genre of TV and film now. It's hugely successful. So movies like I Love You Man, Superbad, all those things, it's a hugely successful genre in Hollywood. And Entourage really played on that, because although all the characters get into relationships with women on the show, the most important relationships that were on the show of Entourage were the relationships they had amongst themselves. And it's basically, you can define a bromance as the closest possible relationship two men or a group of men can have without there being a sexual component. So these guys lived together, they cared for each other, they were, you know, they weren't afraid to share their emotions, their intimate details, their lives with each other, and they would choose each other over everything else in the world, whether it's money or women. And it was quite a new thing when it first started happening on film and television, because originally characters, let's say like Clint Eastwood or Humphrey Bogart, these stoic, hard-boiled men who were so emotionally undeveloped, they could never share a feeling or shed a tear or hug another man. We've now evolved masculinity on the screen to these groups of guys and two guys that are happy to hug each other and tell each other they love each other, which I think is great.
Yeah, okay. Now, beyond all that then, you've got 8 series of what was, many thought was kind of scintillating comedy, very clever scripting and quality acting. And then somebody, as they always do, decides, let's do the movie. So how did you feel in advance of Entourage the movie about the idea of a big screen treatment of a small screen idea?
I was terrified, Ryan. I was absolutely terrified. Yeah. They're going to ruin everything. Now, the last season, like, I probably sound like I'm really biased because I'm such a huge fan, but I'm not afraid to say that like one or two of the seasons weren't like the best. They weren't really well written, and the last season kind of ended on a moment that I think raised a lot of eyebrows. Going, are you really going to end the season on that? But the movie, it picks up right where the last season left off, so it kind of satisfies those thoughts that when you watch the last season, you go, is that really where they're going to end it? The movie picks up right where that left off, and it makes sense. And I know it's getting kind of bad reviews. I haven't actually read. I didn't want any spoilers in my head before we saw it last night. But I haven't read any. But I would probably assume that it's akin to. They always compared Entourage to Sex and the City.
Yes.
So it would be that HBO's first big movie that they did was the movie version of Sex and the City. So it would be like me going to see the Sex and the City movie without having seen any of the series.
Is that pointless?
Almost pointless. I guess like as a standalone movie, it just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have any kind of relationship with the characters that you're watching on screen, which for me makes the film. But it would be like going to see Sex and the City without having watched any of it and not knowing anything about it.
The Mail says today, just like you say, he says he didn't watch the series, the reviewer. Brian Viner, presumably it's the English. He said there are one or two half decent one-liners about the movie business, but really I can find no reason to recommend Entourage to those who didn't see the TV show. 1 star out of 5.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. You should see the series to enjoy the movie. But I don't know why you would go and see the movie without having seen the series, to be honest with you, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, the Telegraph says that if Entourage wanted to paint Hollywood as a sexist circle of hell where taste is non-existent and philistinism reigns supreme, that's a goal achieved. Just don't ask us to join in the high fives. 2 stars.
Well, that's kind of, that makes sense, because look at the recent Sony hacks, and we kind of learned that a lot of the leading female actresses were being paid less than their male counterparts. So I think that hits the nail on the head. But Entourage is meant to be a real-life look at Hollywood, so that is a goal achieved, essentially. That's probably what they were trying to highlight. So I think that reviewer might have missed the point completely in a kind of ironic way.
So how was it for you then, 5-star-wise? What would you give it?
Well, I see, because I'm a movie buff, so I love the intelligent movies, but this isn't an intelligent movie. It is what it is, and it's everything an Entourage movie should be. So as an Entourage fan, I would be giving it 4 out of 5, but right. As a kind of a moviegoer, I can understand why people would kind of veer closer to the 2s and the 3s, if that's fair to say. I'm not dodging a bullet there.
No, you're making it make sense. I mean, I would have felt about Entourage West Wing the way you felt about Entourage. So the idea of a movie, of going to see a movie like that based on that series without having seen an episode, seems like lunacy. But that just makes it kind of limits them a little bit, doesn't it, in terms of their appeal? Like, why would you bother going if you didn't see the series?
That's it. Maybe you were enticed by the trailers, or maybe you had heard so much about the series that you thought it would be a good idea to go and see the movie. But again, I've never seen the Sex and the City film, but I was talking to a girl last night, and she was saying that you could actually go, maybe you could go and see the Sex and the City film without having seen the series, and you would kind of understand the narrative in that. But to understand the narrative in the Entourage film, I think it's really important that you will have seen the other series. Like, take for example Johnny Drama. That's Vincent Chase's half brother, who's kind of been this C-list actor in entire life.
Yeah, I watched the first season, so I know what you're talking about.
And he's had this really incredible career throughout the series of these ups and downs, and he steals the show in the movie. He's absolutely phenomenal. But I don't think that as a viewer, if you hadn't seen the trials and tribulations that he had been through in the 8th season, you just can't appreciate it. You can't appreciate why what's happening to him is good, you know, or bad.
Yeah.
So I think you have to understand the characters to really appreciate the film.
Okay. Well, that's a very fair review. I don't know if I was the director of the film, I'd be delighted with the tone generally, if you know what I'm saying. But you make the perfect point about it. I think Entourage fans will be delighted to spend 2 hours watching their small screen heroes doing what they do.
They will love it. Yep. They will love it. If you like the series, you'll absolutely be head over heels for the movie. I guarantee it.
So you're at Body and Soul this weekend, are you?
I sure am. I'm going to be doing two shows. If you like magic and mind reading, I'm going to be on the Body Holiday stage on Saturday from 6 to 7, and then again on Sunday from 3 to 4. Yeah. So come and check it out.
And it's sold out.
Completely sold out now. Not because of me, Ryan, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, listen, I don't know about that.
I actually couldn't know. I couldn't tell you any of the acts that are playing. I maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. I'm 27 years old. But I don't know any of the acts that are playing. I know Left Field are kind of headlining, but apart from that, I couldn't tell you any of the acts. But I know I'm excited to go and get lost in a forest with a few cans of beer.
Less the worst things you could do. Have a great time, and thanks for talking to us this morning, as always.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Likewise. Take it easy. That's Rua, Paul Gleason, depending on what you're having yourself. I enjoyed that.